Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Most Merciful, to all of our viewers out there. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, and thank you for joining us again in the intersection of faith and reason, where our guest is Dr. Ja'far Sheikh Idris. Dr. Ja'far, it's a pleasure to be with you, sir, and thank you for being with us here today. In the previous episode, we talked about the Creator and how we get to know Him through His creation and through His revelation. We spoke about His revelation, and at this point we would like to speak about the people who carried this revelation and shared with the rest of humanity, mainly the prophets of God.
I sometimes say to myself, let me imagine that I was living at the time when the prophet was sent, and I was an Arab living in Mecca. This man called Muhammad comes and says that he is sent by God. He is a man 40 years old, and I have some knowledge of him. I know that he is a truthful person. He was called the honest. So I have no reason to tell him that he is telling a lie. But still, I would say to myself, perhaps I would ask him, did anyone before you claim that he was a prophet of God, or are you the person who was making
this first claim?
For the first time, he said, "No, ما كنت بدعا من الرسل. I am not. I am in a chain of
previous messengers.
Just the last one. So I said, okay. If some people before him claimed that he was a prophet, this makes me more inclined to believe him. Then I would say, were those people followed by some people? They believed him? He says yes. And he gives me examples of how people followed Moses and Musa. Now, in principle, I would say, God sends prophets. And I would say to myself, this is as it should be, as we said in one of the previous episodes. And if I know God, then I would say to myself, it is God who is providing me with everything that I need for my material life. And God is wise. He knows that my soul is more important than my body. So He would not provide me with things that for the keep up of my body, and neglects my soul. So in principle, I would say to myself, I believe that there must be prophets, and there must be messages from that Creator. My question now is this about this particular person? Is he one of those prophets? Did God send him? And I say to myself, this man is a very honest person. And he tells the truth. I don't think he's a liar. As someone said, you remember that story of Abu Sufyan and was it Heraclitus or something?
No.
Who was arguing with him. And he asked him about whether the prophet was truthful or so. And he said yes. And this man said something very interesting. He said he would not abstain from telling lies to people, and then
would lie against God.
Yeah, and you don't become truthful for 40 years, and then make the biggest lie in the world and say that God sent you, and He didn't send you. So I would therefore believe in Him. Now, my faith in him would increase when I look around and I see that some of the best people that I knew also followed him. And by the way, this the Orient, the famous Orientalist Montgomery Watt, in his book The Road to the Muhammad at Mecca, made something very interesting. He made a study of the people who followed the Prophet when at first, I think it was 40 of them. And he discovered that they were the best people in town, as far as their
character, reputation, and all that.
So I would say to myself, I am in the company of Abu Bakr, I am in the company of Uthman, I am in the company of these are some of the people who followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This would increase my
faith in him as well.
Then I look around and I find that these people come from different classes. So I say to myself, they are not following him for any particular gain. Some of them are slaves. Mm-hmm. Some of them are poor, some are rich, some are leaders, some are followers.
Young, old men and women.
Old men mm-hmm. and women. There is nothing in worldly and in common between them that makes them, that be them their motive. Nothing worldly is the motive for accepting this prophet. Mm-hmm. Then this prophet tells me that he is not asking me for any reward, not from me, neither from me nor from anyone else. Hmm. His reward is from God. So I say that usually people who are not very honest or people who are worldly mind, it would not say something like this.
They want to ask, what is in it for me? What is in it for you?
No. In fact, then when I join him and I find that he was persecuted and he, in spite of this, he was sticking closely to his
message.
Beliefs and his message and so on. This will also increase my belief in him. He had to migrate for the sake of his message. And then I see him practicing what he believes. And by the way, this is one of the real tests. Some people who becomes a leader, and I know from my experience about some people who claim to be religious leaders, but when you look carefully into their private lives, you don't find them to be very religious. So I find him to be a model of what he is saying. Mm-hmm. His message tells us to pray 5 times a day, and I see him praying almost all night. He fasts more than other people fast. He gives more than other people
give.
Mm-hmm. He sacrifices. These are some of the reasons which should make me
want him to follow.
Also, I see the good effect that he has on me and on some of the people around me. Now we come to our to our times. If I am now living in
this time,
as I am living in this time, mm-hmm. and I read about Prophet Muhammad, and I read what this person who followed him said, and I would say to myself, I have some further evidence to prove that this man was a true prophet. He dared to say something which no one would dare to say if he was not a true prophet. He said, I am the final prophet. Hmm. And no one came after him that proved to be a prophet like Jesus or Moses or so. There were, of course, false prophets there, but they were shown to be false. So this is a prediction that he made. I would call it a prediction. And it came true. And it's also said that his message will be preserved in the book which he claims was revealed to him. In that book, he also made
a very daring statement that this book will be preserved.
Mm.
And I look around and I find that this is the only religious book that has any historical authenticity. All the other religious books, and there is no historical proof for the fact that they were the books that the people who claimed were revealed to them, that these are the same books. So even if I am not yet a Muslim or a Christian, or so I would say to myself, I am not sure that this book is the book which Moses said was revealed to him. This is not the book which Jesus said was revealed to him. But I am now sure, at least, that this is the book which Muhammad said was revealed to him. I mm-hmm. have historical evidence for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a person who really knows God and thinks about his attributes and his nature, this should be enough to make them believe in Prophet Muhammad. He would say to himself, God will not neglect to send us a message that guides us. And there is now no message that is claimed to be a message from God, and that has this historical authenticity, except the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
So if I make the premise that there must be a message, and I find no message except this, then this must be the message.
Mm-hmm.
I would say to myself this, as this man who wrote the book, you told me you know the author, the man who wrote the book Misquoting Jesus.
Yes.
Now, he came to the conclusion that there was real doubt about many of the things mentioned in the Bible. And he said in his book, I read some parts of the book, he said, if God made the miracle of sending us his message, why doesn't he make the further miracle of preserving that message? And I said I would write to him, I tell him that he made that that miracle, but unfortunately you don't know about it. The message which God said is the final message and is for all people, is preserved in its original language, original form, and the life of the person who said it was revealed to him is the most authentic biography, perhaps in the world. So the message is preserved
in the form of the Quran. I believe Bert Ehrman is the author that you were talking about. Yes,
see.
And he is one of the most knowledgeable people in the theology of the New Testament. So Jafar, we would take a short break, and we will come back. We're talking about prophethood and how God communicated with humanity through them. So please do stay tuned, and we will be back soon, inshallah.
The tension there, what about the North Korean nuclear program and the six party talks? How will the tension there affect a relationship between U.S. and China?
They did that early in 1993, and after long discussion and negotiation, finally they stopped the program.
Will the world be able to stop this flow of secrets? Will it affect international relations? Or were there simply basic known facts for most experts and most diplomats?
And we don't know if there's more to come. It's information war.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh again, and welcome back to the intersection of faith and reason with our guest here, Dr. Jafar Sheikh Idris. Dr. Jafar, we were talking about the rational arguments for proving the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One thing, and you mentioned it earlier, that I was doing a study about comparing prophethood.
Yes.
And especially in the Old Testament, because that's where mostly it is mentioned there. And it was an attempt introducing the Quran to the Bible readers and introducing the Bible to the Quran readers via comparing and contrasting characters that are found in both books. And what I found to be most interesting is the Quranic source for some of the biblical accounts. Because some of the sources of the Bible actually do post-date Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So part of this idea of the prophethood of the Prophet, peace be upon him, is what he has said about previous messengers that were sent before him and how he spoke about them. And it may come to us as a surprise to some of our viewers out there that we Muslims do believe in the previous messengers that were sent by God. This idea of us Muslims believing in previous messengers, including Moses and Jesus and David and all these.
Yes, people. In fact, a person cannot be a Muslim, cannot be a believer in the prophethood of Muhammad if he does not believe in the prophethood of Moses and Jesus, and if he knows them. If he knows
this is very striking because I think the impression that people have about Muslims out there is that these are people who are very rigid, that's what they believe in, and everybody else is absolutely belittled and downplayed. And you're saying that no Muslim is a Muslim if they do not believe in these previous...
Well, someone, a young man who became Muslim, he told me that after he became a Muslim, he went to his priest. And I think there was something about the Prophet and so on. And he told the priest, he said to the priest, there are now millions of people in the world who know Jesus and who respect him and so on. And the reason for that is Muhammad. So at least for that reason, you should be grateful to Muhammad, and in fact, because there are no historical proofs, even perhaps for the existence of some of these prophets, and because the Quran has been proven to be the word of God, and there is historical authenticity for it. It has, in my view, it is the source from which we learn about earlier prophets.
Sure.
And what the Quran says about them must be more true than some of the things that contradict what the Quran said. Yusuf told me, I think, that you made a study of what is mentioned in the Quran about some of these prophets, in the
Old Testament
about these prophets, especially when I read what they say about David, David, Dawood, in the Quran and in the Hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he is a model. And khayru siyam siyam Dawood. The Prophet said that the best fasting is that of David. He used to fast one day and break the fast another day, and so on. And khayru al-qiyam qiyam Dawood. The best
night
prayer is that of Dawood, and so on. So in the Quran, he was a real prophet, a very upright person, a model. But this is not the case. This is not the account that is given to him, given of him
in some other
places.
Sure.
Now, so we're talking about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we're trying to enumerate the reasons why
should a person believe in him as a prophet? Perhaps we should add to that something which we alluded to previously, that he himself has good proof that he's a prophet, apart from what we said about him. Mm-hmm. He says that this book that I am telling you is the book revealed to me. There is evidence in the book itself that he is a prophet. Mm-hmm. There's rational evidence in the book itself that the book itself proves that it is from God, and that it could not have been, as we said earlier, it could not have been written by a human being. So if the book he claims to be revealed to him by God, if there is a proof in the book itself that it is from God, then he must be a true prophet. Also, what he himself said as a prophet, and there he made a distinction between what he said, his own words and the words of the Quran. He mentioned many things that were proved as to be true, mm-hmm. and some of them are now considered to be as miracles. So all these show that he was, a messenger.
What I love about what the Prophet, peace be upon him, said about previous messengers is that he speaks very highly of them.
Yes.
In a study that was made in the U.S. as to the people, as you know, and probably our viewers also know this, that Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world, especially in the West. We usually ask people who become Muslims, you know, why are you becoming Muslim? What made you become a Muslim? And ultimately, we found that there are four reasons. Mm. Amongst them is how easy the creed of Islam is. It's not a very complicated one. They speak about the fact that it's very diverse. You go to any mosque and you find people from all over the. One thing is, majority of people who are converting or reverting to Islam are Christians. They say Islam does not discount Jesus. Mm. We come from a background that has high respect for Jesus. Mm. So when we come to Islam, Islam does not ask us to shun him away, but rather say, modify your beliefs about Jesus, peace be upon him. Mm. And as such, that makes it so appealing to us that we say, we will keep Jesus. We're just going to modify our beliefs about him. And I believe I heard you once speak about the hadith of the Prophet, peace be upon him, when he explained himself as being a part of a building.
Please, if you can go into that.
He said
someone saw a building that he liked very much, except there were missing bricks
in the building.
And he said, I am those, the Prophet said, I am those bricks. So the building was already there. He's only a completion of that vast building. And this, again, as it should be. This is how, if you believe in the Creator and you know who he is, you would not say to yourself that he neglected to guide all people throughout history until Jesus came. Yeah. And that no one can go to paradise except through Jesus. This is not befitting, as you said, of the Creator. If he is the Creator of all people, he will guide all people, send messengers to God. That's why our conception of religion is very comprehensive. Mm-hmm. That starting even from Adam, and he was a prophet. Adam was a prophet, then Noah was a prophet, all these were prophets. So at every time and every place, according to the Quran, إِن مِّنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا خَلَى فِيهَا نَذِيرٌ. At every time and every place, God did send messengers. And that explains the fact that you find sometimes similarities between what people believe in different parts of the world. And I once went to South Africa, and and was introduced to some of the tribes, that some Muslims told me that these people believe in this. Some things that they thought only Prophet Muhammad came with. But these were, in fact, remnants of earlier messages of earlier prophets. And sometimes also some Western scholars make the mistake of thinking that when they find something in the Quran that is similar to what is in the Bible or in the Gospel, they say, Muhammad must have gotten it from there. But we know that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not even know how to read, mm-hmm. and he had no knowledge of these. And there is, as some people also proved, that there is something in what he says that is apparently similar to what earlier prophets said. There is something in that which proves that he was not just copying from
sure.
there. No, sure. Because he does not say everything that they said. He makes some, he corrects, in fact, what is found in some of these books.
And I think that's what you said earlier about the idea that because of how comprehensive the teachings of Islam are, it is very easy to build bridges between
yes.
other people,
yes.
as you were clearly able to do that with some of the beliefs of these African tribes
yes.
down in South Africa.
Yeah.
And with this, Sheikh, again, we come to the conclusion of this episode, hoping that you would join us next time as we are pursuing this idea of the intersection of faith and reason with our guest here, Dr. Jafar Sheikh Idris. Thank you for being with us here again.
Assalamu.
And we look forward to being here with you in the coming episodes as well. With this, we say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, and so long.
Assalamu alaikum.